The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A family weekend, which we've all experienced this weekend, is a kind of a great reminder for me. It took me back to my college days, and it's that weekend, that time of the year and semester where parents start coming to visit their kids, and then likewise, the kids do what they can to clean their house or their dorm room or whatever to make it look as though they always live that way. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I kind of did the same thing this weekend. We had a recent donation of some furniture, and so I had to kind of jockey some things around, and this place started looking a little cluttered, so I may or may not have hit a couch in my garage. You know, these expectations, though, that all of us experience in our life, remind us that we're all going to have to give an account of our stewardship in life. Not just a clean room, but really our very life itself, the opportunities that we've been given, right? How have we used those to the best? But to simply kind of live for this test, to live by moment to moment, just doing things when our parents come, or to plan to appease someone's expectations, or even our expectations that we place on ourselves, can be a very scary thing to live that way in our faith. And Christ is calling out the Pharisees in the gospel today for doing that. Because the Pharisees just live out these expectations. They just live out the rules piece by piece, but they forget what's behind all of that. And an ordered life, a relationship with God. And so while we must not, minimize our faith, like the Pharisees did, to just meeting these certain expectations. It's good, like it is with our house, right, to take a day-to-day account of what we are doing, what we are planning to do, to be aware of the account that we have to give. Because to put God off is to be like the one who doesn't want to do the dishes, so they just keep buying more dishes, right? The issue compounds itself. So instead of creating a mess, I think if we kind of plumb into this, scratch the surface of this gospel, this parable of the dishonest steward, we'll maybe see a few what to do's and a few what not to do's. Because this steward was a person, this oikonomos, as it is in Greek, oiko meaning ruler and nomos of the household, right? This ruler of the household is someone who kind of became an indentured servant. He chose to take on the role to run the master's affairs. But what was his biggest mistake? Well, not only did he embezzle money, which is what kind of brought us to this point in the gospel today, but furthermore, he really did nothing for his master. He kind of sat on the opportunity that he had been given. He didn't expect or go to demand back part of the repayment for the master's debt, which brings us to that point today. So why then is it that the master actually praises him? What is God trying to tell us about this man who is dishonest? Well, I think what Jesus is saying is that the master was a merciful man, and the steward knew that. So the steward goes and offers this cut rate. Instead of giving 100, you have to give 80. Instead of giving 100, you give 50. He gives this cut rate. He extends the mercy of the father, of the master, rather. But additionally and secondly, what he does is he plans for the future. Instead of simply thinking of the way he was, of embezzling that money, thinking of how he can get rich in the moment, now set with a loss of a job, he starts thinking, how can I plan for the future? And although he does it imperfectly, I think that's the lesson that we should latch on to today. How are we using the present moment, not just for something that may seem like it's advantageous now, but how are we planning for the future? That's at the heart of the college experience. Because what God says, Jesus says at the end of the gospel today, is true for each and every one of us. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So how is our experience now able to set us up for eternity, to educate ourselves for eternity? Because St. Paul says in our second reading today, God wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge, not of construction, not of teaching, not of nursing, but to come to knowledge of the truth, of God who is truth himself. And so for many of you who are in college, you've gone off on your own. You've become your own oikonomos, right? You become your own ruler of the household, not simply of your dorm room, of your apartment, of your house, but of your entire college experience. You've gone off. If you're a freshman, now you're experienced this kind of independence and this freedom, this flexibility of schedule for the first time. So how are you being a steward of that opportunity? Because this time of life isn't just to learn a trade. This time in life isn't just to figure out how you can be successful in the secular world, how you can have a great career. But rather, it's a great privileged time to take advantage of everything that has been given to you. All the opportunities that God has given to you. Because all of us have been entrusted with the gift of salvation. And so regardless of our state in life, we have to acknowledge that to be a good steward means to participate in the life of God. To participate in his grace and to use it what? For what St. Paul continues praying for. He says he prays that we may live a quiet and tranquil life in devotion to God. To serve God, not man. To serve our vocation, not our career. To serve our marriage, not our career. Whatever it is for us in life, we have to take account. So what do the rest of our scriptures say then about the what to do's and the what not to do's? Well, number one, the what not to do's. Don't become complacent like the steward did. Don't be complacent letting things pile up in your life until something's demanded of you. Because all of us have been given a lot of opportunities, so don't sit on them. And I'm not saying don't skip class or procrastinate so much on your homework. No, I'm saying take advantage of all of the opportunities to form valuable friendships, to grow in your spiritual life, whether it be in between classes, to grow in those faith and to use those things that are at your disposal. Amos says in the first reading today, he says, don't cheat the scales. So no matter if you're a college student or if you've been out of college for a long time, if you're in high school, don't cheat yourself. Don't set yourself up for failure. Weighing, as I've said already, your career or even sports or hobbies over good friendships, over pursuing your relationship with Almighty God. Because to cheat the scales puts us already at a disadvantage. You know, we can make excuses, but if we aren't living for our vocation, then we're settling for mediocrity. So the what not to do, don't cheat yourself. Don't set yourself up for failure. But take this independence and flexibility if you're in college and use it to your advantage. Which brings us then to the what to do's. Right, to come to the knowledge of God who is truth, it requires us to do something. Right? The dishonest steward got praised for doing dishonest things. How? Because he was at least trying to do something. And I'm not here to condone sin, okay? I'm not saying, well, Father said, just do something, all right? But think about the easiest thing at your disposal. The what to do, Sunday Mass. Right? If we're properly disposed, if we've taken advantage of the Father's mercy and confession and we're here to receive communion, all you have to do is to show up and you receive the greatest gift imaginable. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, if we're really aiming for eternity, we're not just living in the present, but we're planning for our future, it means we're investing in our relationship with Almighty God through prayer. St. Paul says today, he wishes then that in every place that men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. If we're to have a tranquil life, then we have to be grounded in our relationship with Almighty God. We still have openings for time and adoration, time of prayer on Thursdays. So I encourage you to do that. Hopefully in October here, we'll have Bible studies beginning. A way to invest not only in your relationship with Almighty God, to experience this tranquility, the literal silence in here, but also through Bible studies to form valuable friendships to guide you to eternity. Mark Twain said, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education. Don't relegate your time here at college to simply the classes you take on campus. Because they may prepare you for a career, but they will not prepare you for eternity. Don't allow God to simply be a poster in your dorm room or a little piece you put on the mantle. But allow him to be the aim of your life. The expectation of your life is to be in union with him. This is how we become a good steward of God's gifts, of our time here on earth. This is how we relish what God has given to us, and we come to the greatest knowledge, the knowledge of our Creator who made us and destined us, not for mediocrity, but for greatness.